Let's wind the clock back to the very first race. I think you were 15 years old back in 1981. What are your memories of what the atmosphere was like in the Brasher household the night before that first London Marathon?
Yeah, I think there was sort of nervous anticipation, I think is probably the best phrase. The runners had registered, so my father knew that over 6,500 people had registered. I'd been selling them the train tickets. So
he got you involved?
Yeah, absolutely. They were 50. I remember they were 50p each, and I remember that he'd bought them off National Rails, I think it was then, for 47p. So there was 3p profit in every train ticket. But I still think it was something they were unsure about. They were unsure about who was going to turn up in terms of support, and how the media would portray it. This had been 18 months of incredibly hard work coming back from New York in October of 1979, and my father writing his article in the Observer and asking, did Britain have the heart and soul to put on this event? And him and John Disley, you know, John had come up with this fantastic course, but what would happen on the day? And you know, marathon running, you can never be sure. And I really think that how it finished in Dick and Inga hand in hand, and that was front page of the Daily Mail on the Monday after the event. And I think in certainly from my point of view then, that was the point I realised, wow, something quite special has been created.
What was your father's reaction in the days and weeks after that event? How bowled over do you think he was by how successful it had been?
I think he felt validated and vindicated in the sense that the amount of cajoling that they had done over the previous 18 months had been immense, and there are always naysayers, people who, you know, say, well, this can't be done, it's impossible, and for him that word was not a word that existed in his vocabulary. And he had enormous support from some areas of the media, Sir Donald Trelford of The Observer, who was the editor of The Observer, Sir Horace Cutler of the GLA, and had been enormously supportive. So I think that really he was further enlightened and just further motivated to make the event bigger and better. And that's certainly what it is now.
7,700 odd people started that first race in 1981, and here you are, this year is going to be, what, 37,000. It's advanced and devolved in so many ways. How do you think your father would view it now, were he's still with us?
Oh, I think he would be just enormously proud of the whole event and the team that has worked on it for so long. And that have really developed it. I mean, Dave Bedford, the previous race director, and the team around Dave that are still the team that exists with the marathon now. The charity fundraising, so now three-quarters of the field run for charity. We will go through the three-quarters of £1 billion mark. To see such an amazing field lining up on Sunday, he loved the elite side of it, but what he also loved, this is the one event that anybody can stand on a start line on the same place as the world record holder, the Olympic champion, at the same time, the same course, with the same crowd, and that for him was what made this event unique and made him particularly proud.
And is that, when all said and done for you, perhaps the key to why it has endured and become such a successful event year on year?
Yes, absolutely. I think that the crowd get inspired each year, that they are watching people run something that is slightly mad. 26.2 miles is not normal. It takes a huge amount of effort. It takes a huge amount of training. But actually, people are standing there going, well, they get inspired. They get inspired by clapping the people, by cheering them on, and then thinking, I want to do that. And absolutely, I think that is why London and Britain comes together on that day. And, you know, one of the goals was to show that the family of man can be united. And I think that the tragedy in Boston in 2013 and how marathon running and the runners reacted really shows that. And Dick and Inga in their first year, to be battling for 26 miles and then in those last 385 yards to basically decide that they want to finish hand in hand, that just set the scene for where we are now, and this is such a fitting time to be celebrating it.
And just a final one, where can the London Marathon go from here? How on earth do you improve on something that looks to be pretty perfect in its current shape?
Oh, there are lots of things that we're always looking to improve. We're pretty ruthless with our debrief process, and there are lots of little things that we're trying out this year. We try not to try too many together, and this is all about a sort of a gradual evolution. What you don't do in marathon running with training, what you don't do with organising events is a revolution. It is absolutely very, very small changes that just try and tweak it and improve it. And that's what we're doing this year, and we'll look to continue that in the future.